you wouldn't expect. That would be fun. Like if Isabel from Amplified told me she read a John Darnielle
novel.
That would
be a little, well.
I'd be intrigued.
I would wonder how they found their route towards the books.
We love Isabel. Isabel, yeah. For the record, A+ human being.
Please tune into their show.
Well, they are on a bit of a summer hiatus now, but they will be back in the fall.
And they're going home during summer break or whatever.
She will be back. We have confirmed that. So, schedule in flux. Also in that music block, we had Khan, the artist with Best Days. Ducks Limited, another great name, with Train Full of Gasoline. We had another Sojourn into our Japan Hits 1995 compilation CD.
Oh yeah, old reliable.
B-Z, or actually I guess it's B-Z, with Yamioka. And we kicked it all off with Clothesline from Hell, Open Up, and now it's time. You already know what time it is.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
time
I'm ready.
For the Bandle. We get 6 clues. 5 of them are musical. 1 is a text clue that is just a translation of the title of the song. Yes.
Usually give away. If you X out on Bandle, you can either blame whatever AI modification they did for the song title. Mm-hmm. But like for the most part, it is usually good enough to rely on. Sometimes it is woefully awful.
Yes.
And completely nonsensical.
And this week, our Bandle is from the year 1985.
Good sign.
257 million views on YouTube for this version of the song. It might be one of those ones that gets re-uploaded a million times.
Yeah.
And it's classes of par 4. Before we jump into it,
I'm going to just shoot blind and say Hall & Oates or Genesis.
Okay, both are solid guesses.
Right, 1985, that could probably swing.
I will tell you some of the big movies that year, because if we look up music, it makes it too easy.
Yeah.
So 1985, Mikey, how do you feel about Back to the Future, the OG Back to the Future?
I watched it for the first time a few years ago, and it was like pretty good. I think it was like Movies in the Square. We were having it in Kingston or something. I think
that's where
I saw it.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it was a movie. I don't know. Yeah,
I'm of the opinion. I'm not a huge fan of the franchise.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Number one movie of the year, $210 million box office gross.
It was the number one movie of the year?
Yep, in terms of gross.
Okay.
In terms of gross. Number 2 and 3 are also Sylvester Stallone, and in 1982 for the Bandle I did on a Friday, he also had, basically when he releases movies, he's like the top box office draw, because Rambo First Blood Part 2, which is nowhere near as good as Rambo First Blood, and Rocky 4, which is much more interesting as a Rocky movie, combined made $280 million.
Oh, wow.
And that's one guy in the bill. Have you seen any of the Rambo movies, Mikey?
I have not. I have a lot of movie and media blind spots in general, actually.
I will tell you, do not watch anything. Rambo First Blood is worth watching, like the original.
Yeah.
Because it's more so a story about, like, the poor treatment or poor reintegration of people with profound, severe trauma into American society. And then they kind of drop that from part 2 onwards and just make it about him killing, America's enemy of the week.
Right.
The Vietnamese in 1985, or the Soviets, classic.
Right, yep.
Or eventually, when they kind of reboot the franchise, Cambodians.
Of course,
he hadn't had enough of the Vietnamese.
Yep, very much the villains in those stories.
And then the cartel. Very interesting.
Really bring it up.
For the record, the villains in the first one are the police.
To be abundantly transparent here.
So these movies take a very strange shift almost immediately. Rocky 4, I am of the belief that Rocky 1, first off, beautiful romance movie with sports as a window dressing. That it is. It's like one of my favorite romantic movies ever, because it's just extremely sincere and free of irony.
You wouldn't say Footloose is that for you?
Footloose doesn't hit the same way.
This is a joke. Brackets is a joke. Editors,
Footloose is fun, though.
Footloose is fun, yeah.
It's a good movie. It's worth watching.
I would say it's more worth watching than Back to the Future.
I would agree. I would 100% agree. Rocky 2, really good sequel. More sports than romance. But it's like, it's got a heart to it. Mm-hmm. Rocky 3 is where they're like, okay, we're really just like sports, tropes. It's fine.
Yeah.
Mr. T is in it, and he's great.
Okay, yeah.
Rocky 4, but here's the thing. Rocky 1 and 2, and this is not like controversial, are extremely like hetero movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no, it's like, this is just strictly like hetero normative stuff. Rocky 3 and 4, the way that they're filmed start to incorporate a lot of very tight shots on tight male bods, a la Top Gun. And I'm talking like the more, and Rocky IV especially is loaded with them. And my theory is after Rocky I, the sequels get better with how gay they are.
This is definitely a Chance talking segment. We definitely need Chance to fill in here.
I have said this for years because it's like they get less serious. Rocky IV has a robot in it.
Ah.
There's in fact a fan cut that removes the robot entirely.
Oh my gosh.
Happy birthday, Polly. So it's ridiculous, but it's a lot of beefcake shots of Stallone and what's his name? The guy who plays Drago. Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
There's literally a shot of Dolph Lundgren in like a crunch machine, and it looks like it's going out of control because he's just crunching so hard, and it's just his abs.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is crazy.
This is, yeah.
Love it. Color Purple, big movie that year. Out of Africa, big movie. Jewel of the Nile, Cocoon. However, Mikey, there's one more movie I want to highlight. The Goonies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just like saying it. The Goonies. Number 9.
It is the word of 2024, probably.
Yeah. So there you have it. 1985. Pretty good year for film. Actually, I've seen most of these. Witness with Harrison Ford probably is not aged well in the sense that it's a Hollywood depiction of like Pennsylvania Dutch Amish life, where there's like a child who witnessed a murder and he has to protect him in this community. I remember watching it in 2020 and thinking this is not as bad as I expected the portrayal to be, but I don't have expertise or lived experience.
You are not Amish.
Yeah, who am I to determine that? I expected it to be more insane.
Yeah, and which is totally fair to have that expectation, yeah.
Also, Harrison Ford.
Yep.
And he is smoking hot in this movie. I'm going to tell you right now, like that's a beautiful
theme of 1985.
Yeah, they got it, which is interesting for a lot of reasons. So 1985, you've already went out there
closely at it
and guessed like Hall & Oates, kind of like
Genesis, yeah,
pop vibe. I like Genesis. I don't know if this should be Phil Collins later, Genesis. Yeah,
but it could fall within whatever the net cast here, I think.
So we've got some interesting guesses. I say, I'm trying to think if there's anything. I'm going to think new.
How much? 200 and something million?
257 million.
I don't think it's either of my guesses, actually. That's a lot of.
I'm going to say new wave. I'm going to say like new wave because that was just start. Like 85 is the kickoff.
New Order and stuff? Maybe?
New Order. It won't be Flock of Seagulls because that would have way more views. But like that new wave, which is what makes the 80s difficult because you have a lot of new wave one hit wonders.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be that. But either way, let's
beat around the bush.
Give us
the bass line and or drums, or probably it's drums first.
Drums and bass.
Drums and bass.
Although I don't think that'll be the genre.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
That would be,
So here we go. Drums and bass. Okay.
The Clash? No.
That's not bad. No, I don't think it's either of the two Clash songs in the database. This doesn't sound like London Calling or Should I Stay or Should I Go? Interesting. This is definitely harder than either of us predicted.
This is not a good look. I'd say, I don't know.
There's like, the bass line is...
If the bass line isn't recognizable, that's not a good sign for your battle performance.
That's okay. This is just the first one. There's also an organ in this song, which we're going to hear next.
Organ's next.
Yeah. And it's got like electric guitar, so this is probably going to fall more into the rock genre. So organ is coming up next. We've heard our drums and bass, and you can tell the organ is immense because it is still buffering the organ. Ooh. It kind of goes. Oh.
Yeah, that... A faint bell is ringing.
That's the thing. It's like...
A faint bell is ringing.
Wow, there's a lot of Genesis in here for the record.
I don't think it's Genesis.
No, I know. I was just looking. Let's hear it again. So we've got the organ. But it's like, think of 80s acts. Maybe, yes, they could utilize an organ. Oh, that's so tough. That little organ run.
Yeah.
Unless we have a guess, we're going to move to just electric guitar.
I think just, yeah.
One and two. So there's four electric guitars and an acoustic on this track as well, according to the breakdown.
So it's got to be prog rock.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
got to
be
good,
prog rock.
Yeah. Time makes sense, too. Which is a genre I have very little experience
yeah,
with.
Yeah, this should be my wheelhouse, but... I'm getting Bruce Springsteen.
It's because of the organ. 85 Bruce would be interesting too. It's not.
It's definitely not. But that last little like riff.
No, I guess Jungle Land because of the prominent organ.
Yeah.
But I don't. This is tricky. Okay, now we're at par. This is lush too. There's a lot of stuff in here.
Isn't it Boys of the Summer?
It's Bryan Adams, Summer of 69.
Summer 69.
Okay, we hit par.
Okay, that was a good...
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I didn't realize how Milk Toast the whole song was until that has the like lead guitar there.
Hot months, end of the 60s.
Hot months, end of the 60s.
I've always been fascinated. I mean, okay, so Bryan Adams is famously...
Wait, we gotta get the MIDI. We gotta get the MIDI vocals.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I do want to hear that. Slider.
Yeah, pretty good. That checks out. That's a good song. I'm a fan.
So Bryan Adams despises music critics.
Really?
He's very sensitive. Bryan Adams, also Canadian, was famously born in Kingston before moving elsewhere.
Whoa, Lord! I had no idea.
Yeah, he was born the same day as my uncle.
What the heck?
Yeah, I know. Very strange.
Welcome back, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I wish. You know what? No wonder why it's his best song, because it does sound like Bruce Springsteen in the instrumentation. I'm not a huge Bryan Adams fan, just in general.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like you said about, like, that was sort of the era of, like, a lot of, like, one-hit wonders, like, cropping up. Like, I could not name another Bryan Adams song.
Oh, I could. There were a lot of them. That was kind of, I would put it to you this way.
I would recognize more Bryan Adams song, but if you ask me to verbalize titles of Bryan Adams song right now,
Cuts Like a Knife.
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
No idea.
So Bryan Adams to me is like 80s Nickelback in the sense that he was extremely successful. His music was everywhere, but nobody really loved it. It was just and you get sick of him, and to the point where like the stuff he releases in the 90s is like Michael Bolton schmaltz.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was not well received by critics, very successful, don't get me wrong, sold hundreds of millions, like I want to say like 100 million albums or something, mm-hmm. but very sensitive, took all of his stuff off like music listing sites. Like he is very sensitive about how he's kind of portrayed
received?
And discussed.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm not a huge fan.
That's
however,
a skill issue.
Summer. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even just get better.
Make a better product.
However, Summer of 69, I will say, good
song. It's a tune.
It also has some of the most egregious lyrics of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Which at one point in the bridge, he just says, and he's talking about a car, so that's the context, but he doesn't say that. But it's me and my baby in a 69 is literally one of the lyrics. And I was like, whoa, this guy is hitting kind of different. So I respect him for that, where he's like, I'm going to say something rude on the radio. But he's not for me. So we will not be playing Summer of 69. I will tell you that with absolute certainty.
I mean, we just did. I think the MIDI version was...
sufficient.
Yeah.
I think that really hit it all for us. We are going to get back to some new music, some CanCon as well. In fact, we've got a couple of Montreal acts coming up here. We're going to start things off with Emily Kahn and Search History, two terrifying words.
Yeah, that is.
Put together.
Yeah.
We're going to do some De La Chute with Nausea, Afternoon Bike Ride with The Ride. All that and so much more coming up. Mikey's handed me some mystery picks as well, which we will slowly make our way through.
The one with like the evil gremlin looking dude is weird, as a heads up.
You're going to have to be more specific.
You will recognize the evil gremlin looking
dude. Is it the one with the red cape?
Yes.
Okay, I was looking at that as well.
Chance, when we were running No Bones eras gone by, procured that one. Cool. And it was a great, very appropriate song for that show. So perhaps vet it if it does so compel you.
Yes.
But there's a lot of good stuff in there anyway.
There's some Daniel Romano in here. Which is always a very safe pick. So it's like, we're gonna mess around and find out in just a moment.
I do want to play that tape at some point, even just for backing. The one I brought.
Okay. I was going to ask if that's a backing or like
It could go either way.
We'll use it as
backing. I went to Cheap Thrills in Montreal when I went to Initial Shock Fest 2-3 weeks ago, which is Montreal's now, I don't know if it's going to be annual, but it has run 2 years in a row of like noise musicians and performers, which is a really, really compelling weekend. And I found it really engaging. I poached a lot of like concepts and ideas for my own acts as a result.
All right.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I witnessed some really interesting, hard to describe acts. You get the like, the noise is so interesting because it skews so heavily into performance that a lot of other musical genres are either unable to or don't allow themselves to. But because it's so open-ended, you'll have people with like just tables of gears and like, not tables of gear, not gears, but I have, that is also an inevitability.
Yes.
And pedals and stuff, and then they're sort of like twiddling knobs, and it's a very impressive textured sound. Then you have someone with like an electric violin and looping pedals. Mm. And they'll like really build out a lush sort of backing, orchestral sort of performance, and then continue to sort of overdrive it and turn up the heat until it is almost a weaponized sort of sound, really, really jugular in its approach. The person I'm referring to is called the Nausea. I think they're Canadian. They had three different bowstrings in varying degrees of distress. It was a really, really engaging performance.
Wow.
If you like weird stuff and you're in Montreal, there's a really cool experimental noise scene out there. Go looking. I would recommend.
There's Mikey's recommendation. All right. Let's get down to it. Let's start off with Emily Kahn and Search History. And then, you know what? We might get a little wild with it. Either way, you're listening to the Monday Indie Wake Up Call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
What's wrong with me? Only ever one was out of reach. need you for the ride.
Symmetry slip, no more. they can't see. You think I'm losing if I'm not winning? Please don't lay your conditions on me. It's such a crime to live for the future. I'm missing this cause you're thinking of that. I don't care if you think I'm a loser. I'm just glad you got everything all down pat. I ain't content to sit on the sidelines. I count sheep till the cows will come home. I ain't no crazy. Don't give me sheep or I'll hang up the phone. I don't wanna live my life like I'm stealing something that don't belong to me. I'll take what's mine and I'll take it with feeling. Now get out of here or let me be free, yeah. See you go, now so turn off the light. Please, baby, yeah. I see you go now. Please turn off the light. My ears are closed to what you are saying. My eyes are open to what you do. Your play is working, my work's only playing. You don't have to tell me what that means to you. I don't know what exactly I'm doing. I'm still alive, somebody must care. There's just nobody I got to fool in. I think it's too bad if you got to be there. I ain't content to sit on the sidelines. The count sheep till the cows have come home. I ain't no crazy. Don't give me shit or I'll hang up the phone. I don't wanna live my life like I'm stealing. There's something that don't belong.
Tuesdays.
And we're back. I am desperately seeing if I can get Mikey's tape to play.
What? When I run my show and I put cassettes in there, it is fine. However, whenever I hand cassettes to anyone on the Monday morning trip, it doesn't take. Oh my gosh, I've never seen it blink.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like that.
So let's just go ahead.
Yeah, we'll worry about that later.
Eject this tape to save it, because I'm not going to
ruin. I would be unhappy. Yes. I would be unhappy if that happened.
Of course, as you should be. Absolutely. So we just heard Megan Hamilton with Tuesdays Are the Loneliest Nights, and that's what we've got underneath us right now as well. Prior to that, we had, and this is a very, we entered the Montreal portion of the show, because the title of the song before that, which was by Les Bronzes and Wake Island, was heart emoji, tilde, 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 je, tilde, 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 heart emoji.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a title.
I was like, great, this is a normal thing.
That's like, didn't Arab Strap put out a record very recently where it was like, thumbs up emoji, I'm actually totally fine, don't worry. Something like really hilarious and nonsensical.
That sounds about right. All I can say is it was a certified Montreal music moment.
Montreal crooner. Yeah. It was a good track.
I mean, yeah.
I liked it.
Just because your title is bizarre doesn't mean the track won't be good.
It's true. Fortet has a whole like side project thing where it's a complete hodgepodge of nonsensical characters that makes it impossible. Like, it's sort of anti search engine optimization, where you kind of have to have like the URL handy to access it.
As much as I love Megan Hamilton as well, she is too good to be relegated.
Yeah,
to.
That's totally fair.
A great local artist there. We play a lot of her, especially on Fridays. So I'll get some soft jazz underneath us. Also in that music block, we had Suki Waterhouse, Super Sad. Great track there. Elliot Zimmerman, Turn Off the Light. And that was a Mikey pick. And it was Blind good, pick. But there was something strange.
It was, I was thinking the same. It was like if you like ska reggae-ified Sublime.
Yes, by this old white guy who kind of looks... He looks evil, and I'm sure he's not, but he just kind of looks
that
way.
He just has that aura about them.
Yeah, he looks like who was it in Twin Peaks? The guy that was like the key grip they made a major character. He looks like a slightly thinner version of him, like Bob. And that's very, you know, hard to reckon with. Prior to that, we had, and this was great, this is a certified classic, Daniel Romano with Green Eye Shade. I was talking about Springsteen-esque.
Yep.
With the sax, the,
yep.
the sultry backup vocals. All-timer.
Good
Great
stuff.
Track.
Good stuff.
And we heard Afternoon Bike Ride with The Ride, De La Chute with Nausea, and Emily Kahn with Search History. So there you go. Once again, a nice little block of CanCon for you on CFRC, which is always playing Canada's freshest radio content. I have a competition where I like to try and come up with as many CFRC acronyms as is humanly possible to say on the air. Very famously, or rather infamously in this sense, when I was doing football last season, I referred to CFRC as Canada's favorite radio channel. And my colleague, while we were off mic, like tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, is that true?
It's good. It's because the inception of that is also like it's got its own fermentation where the Wikipedia article states incorrectly that CFRC stands for Canada's First Rugby Club.
And also Crazy Fellows Raising Cane.
What?
Yeah.
So no, I think you're lying about that second part. Really?
Yeah, that was one of the other rumors, because associated with that rugby football history is that, yes, Canada's First Rugby Club, but also Crazy Fellows Raising Cane, because the first broadcast, very famously, was a recap of a rugby football union game between the Hamilton Rowing Club and the Queen's Tricolor. So there was also that affiliation, because at the time, the rugby and rugby football teams were the best in the country. So yes, I love the notion of CFRC, because people ask me, like, oh, what does it stand for? I'm like, well, it's a call sign. Like, a lot
it's
of...
It's nonsensical, as most of them are.
Campus
and community. Sorry to ruin the mystique,
usually
listener.
Have that C designation, for instance, Amherst Island, CJAI, Coburg, CFWN.
Yeah. CKUT. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Like it's usually just a standard kind of designation, mm-hmm. especially if you are campus or community-based. But it is very fun to come up with little acronyms. So have fun doing that on your own.
Little brain treat.
Yeah, little famously, you know, it's been a hard day. I deserve a nice little brain treat. Mikey, you were on the road the last couple weeks, yeah?
Yes. Oh, yes. The aforementioned initial shock fest is a precursor to me doing my own little stint of touring, very easy DIY, as continues to sort of be my MO. It was fun. It was a combination of people I sort of knew in the scene from just like being around in Toronto or the areas, and people I've booked for shows locally. They sort of helped me put together a few dates. I did Ottawa on the 10th. I did Kitchener Waterloo. I played the Yeti Cafe, which is apparently an institution. This cute little hole in the wall nook, sort of very little space to work with in there. Played there on the 12th. Opened for Box Cutter's 7-inch release show. And that also had Treehouse of Horror releasing their EP that day. And then played the legendary Doors Pub in Hamilton on the 14th. It was a lot of fun. Really a great time to be able to sort of be privileged and blessed to perform and be weird. It made for good footage. The instrumentation that I'm doing is no input mixing. That's sort of the basis around the project and the idea that like anyone can be a performer. You shouldn't be gated by gear. If you have the desire to do so, the means are out there to go and make some noise, make some music. And by taking any old mixing board, this one was given to me by one of the aforementioned members of the band, Boxcutter, Kai, who has been a legend. Kai was also back in 2021 when we were doing the like marathon runs with myself, Chance, and Ari, did one of the posters. Like, I had commissioned them to do that yellow and black poster ages and ages ago. They had given me a mixing board that was collecting dust. And if you take a bunch of quarter inches and you run the outs into the ins and the ins into the outs, it becomes an evil synthesizer of sorts. Oh. It's very fun. It's very cool. You too could do it at home. I wouldn't recommend doing it frequently with gear that you care about because it sort of fries the internals over time. The mixing board I have is not usable as a mixing board anymore. It's got a lot of hum and a lot of hiss.
It's so
a lot of texture and a lot of seasoning to it that makes it less than ideal to be an actual mixing board. But as an instrument for the cause, it is more than adequate. Yeah, it's fun. Look up no input mixing board on your search engines. It's really interesting. And if you're into the experimental stuff, August 24th, I'm having my like meeting of the circle that I run, trying to be monthly, where people all around town will show up with their synthesizers, their what's-its, their doodads. You can ask questions. You can play around with people's gear, learn, have fun. It's open to both people with and without gear. And then later in that evening, Mythmaking from Out West are playing a show to sort of supplement that, and they'll have a talk following their show. Local legend Matt Rogalski is also performing and will be a wonderful presence. It'll be really cool. And then I will continue to plug backwards. August 1st, really, really heavy noise show. I've got Spiritual Poison, which is one half of Primitive Man, legendary sludge metal band. I've got Amarwar Noise, solo flute drone looping project by Jetsam front person Jack. And then I've got Deprivation Tactics, Toronto, Harsh Noise. I have two locals cutting their teeth, Egg Mode, which is Chancellor's solo noise project.
Of course. I thought he didn't want people to know about Egg Mode.
Egg Mode, Chancellor's solo project. Chancellor, the backbone of the station, without a doubt. Well, second, probably only to Dinah, I think. Sort of the glue that holds the station together in different fronts. And then we have Earthside, an up-and-coming noise project from another local in town. Check it out August 1st. And then at the end of this month as well, July 28th, rather, I've got a fun little acoustic-y, folky show with Cody Allen James.
Yeah.
I've got Groucho Pepe. And then I also have another band who's fleeting at the moment. Mm-hmm. West Lakin, all sort of cool alt-country, country-ish. And that's at Next Church, July 28th. Mm-hmm. Find me on Instagram, at Nostatic Forever. End of plugs. That's where you'll find all the show details.
Yeah. Cody Allen James is someone I am familiar with.
Yes.
And that's a great get because And I'll tell you, in my job, a lot of times it's filling space in between shows occasionally. And it's like, he is a great one where I'm like, this is good music. I can count on it. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it.
And a dude is just super cool. They're in a gamut of different bands. I bumped into them by booking them church themes a while back. And they were playing drums for that outfit. And then got chatting with them. They're wearing a Tumult hat. I was like, nice hat, dude. Classic music nerd moment. And then we got to chatting. They have a hardcore group called Shed. And then, yeah, this cool, like, country, alt country outfit that they've got. Wonderful people. 10 out of 10. Would recommend. Book them for your next gig.
Fantastic. There you go. Another Mikey seal of approval. Folks, we are moving into the final few minutes of this program. We're going to send you out on a combination of the High Tops with another track called When the Lights Go Out.
Ooh.
And Lord, Take Me to the River from the Talking Heads compilation.
Oh, I thought you meant Lord, L-O-R-D-E, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, as in not like Lord, comma. Okay, yes. Okay, yes, I understand.
So I'm excited.
I have had one banger and one sinker from that comp.
That's why. That's why I'm like, this is a safer bet.
Yes.
I think this is a safer bet. We love Lord, don't we, folks?
Yes, we love her.
Mm-hmm. Also coming up on the station today, of course, at 6 p.m., you can tune in for more Mikey.
Hello, hello.
In his no static mode. 2 o'clock, we've got the icon, Daniel Wolf, who also provided some voiceover for the incoming in August Radio Theater
Did
Camp.
Did they actually?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yes, dude.
Oh, and it's good.
Yes.
It's so good. So that's what I was here at 6 a.m. doing.
We've got a lot of good radio voices in the station. And I mean, Wolf is up there for sure. Wolf is up there.
So look forward to that. There's so much great stuff to come, but let's kick things off again with the High Tops, When the Lights Go Out. Thanks for listening, folks. And in honor of Wayne Vermette, I love you.
Take care.
Oh, know that New Leaf Link offers day programming for adults with developmental disabilities? We serve families in Kingston and South Frontenac. Our program focuses on arts, healthy living, and community connections, including summer camp. New Leaf Link's caring staff and talented instructors provide a place for everyone to learn together and build friendships. If you or someone you know would like to join our program, please visit newleaflink.ca for more details. Together, we can grow, connect, and belong.
Your true, true friend loves you just as you are.
Rockin' the Square returns to downtown Kingston. Featuring the Juno Award-winning, platinum-selling Crash Test Dummies. With special guest, Kingston's own Piner. Rockin' the Square, Friday, July 26th at 8 p.m. Presented by the City of Kingston. Public transit and general admission are free for all ages. Details at kingstonlive.ca.
I love you like I do.